Rally to me, Escalonians! You'll never conquer Ascalon!
Hello and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast, where two enthusiastic fangirls avoid gallows humor with one grumpy pants. See, I'm Hashtag.
This is why people don't like puns.
It's a pretty good one, though.
I hadn't read it in advance, so it was new to me.
I'm Hashtag, and I'm joined, as always, by Hunter and Alona. Hello.
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 Before we get started, a quick reminder that you can get in touch with us with news, questions, or comments by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon. We usually start things off with Chivos, where we discuss what we've been up to in Guild Wars 2. Alona, would you like to start us off?
Sure thing. Sorry, I just had to cough very briefly myself. So core Tyria masteries. I was looking through the achievement panel and realized I never collected the new mastery points when they were added.
Like, what?
I just...
Yep.
Yep. They just fell off my radar. And so there are some easy AP points that I collected just, you know, tooling around. And those mounts came after those were added. So having mounts made them really fast to get.
Oh yeah,
did so. They? It was only like a couple weeks or something, was it?
They were added. Were they added right before POF?
It was pretty close to the release of POF.
Okay, well, if that might be the case, but mounts made them pretty simple. So, and I got that done. I got some AP points. I think I'm super close to the next level, so I'm pretty excited about that. I threw Moolah at the anniversary sales, so I maxed out my shared slots. I did get another character slot.
What's the max shared slot?
I have no idea.
Isn't it like 12?
I'd have to Google. I'm not 100% sure. No, I think it's more than that because they went to it was 11 at one point and they added more after that. So I want to say like 15, but I could be wrong.
Did you get some bank slots?
I didn't, actually. I should have. Didn't. And what else? Oh, I bought one of the mount adoption licenses and got the Starry Knight Griffin.
Ooh.
That one. It's very pretty. Quite like it. It was on a whim. Actually, I thought I had missed the shared slots and I was like, oh, well, I'm in the mood to buy something now. So I bought that. And then Zero said, oh, no, the slots are still available. I'm like, oh, no, buy those as well. So I just bought both. And I got keys because they were on sale. I think that was about it. But yeah, I've spent my money for the next little while. I probably am going to have to be thrifty after this. I got my 6th anniversary gift on the 24th. And I got the Norn backpack because I already had the Azura and Silvari. And I'm so torn because I really only like the Azura and Silvari. So at this point, it's just like flip a coin and whichever one it lands on, it would have to be a multi-sided coin. But I'm not sure. I'm not overly fussy about the rest of them.
So does that mean you only have 5 characters who are over 5 years?
Yes, because I played Alona for a very long time. No, you only get the backpack once.
It was the 5-year award, right?
Yeah.
And then you get it.
No, wasn't it 4, 5, and 6?
Maybe.
I don't remember.
I think this is a once per account.
Every single time. I see. I thought it was per character.
The backpack is once a year, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, and the guaranteed wardrobe unlock. I don't know what I got. This is what Hunter got. I have to delete that.
Oh, jeez. You copy and paste it again? Yes. I thought we were done with that after Guild Wars Reporter.
Legacy this continues.
This was done very purposefully. I can't remember what I got with that, though. And I can't remember what I'm sitting on both the Luminous weapons and also the armors, because I can't decide which one to get across the board, like for either the weapons or the armor.
Oh, jeez.
I can't decide.
Reading your stuff here, it's ridiculous. I picked the Luminous ? Where she's taken out my specific things and putting question marks.
I did do that. And when I logged into game, I meant to actually check to see I was going to fill those, and then I forgot. I picked the Sand Shark die.
Did you? Because yes. That's what I picked from my die choice, so I'm a little skeptical that that's your choice.
I did get Sand Shark. Yeah, it was between like that or Oasis, and I wasn't sure which one. And I had cycled through all my tunes on the weekend to clear them out after I got the shared inventory slot, because it was a good way, like I put stuff in there and just go from character to character and just fill the shared inventory slot before like moving stuff out. So that was actually pretty helpful for some maintenance. And then I had to go through again to put novelty items into the wardrobe. So... And then I collected enough ornate keys to complete a whole Master Diver Chivo. So I just got enough and just went from chest to chest to chest to chest and got them all at once. So I like doing it that way. And we had guild missions. They were fun. And I think this was the first time everyone finished Crab Scuttle Race. Everyone finished.
Yeah, we can't Except get some of the me. People reliably through Crab Scuttle for a reason. But like it... It takes practice, but shouldn't be that difficult. But
well, it takes practice, but you have the brood mother.
Well, we're typically trying to do it with six people or so,
yeah.
Which is the main problem, I would say.
Yeah.
Well, between the brood mother and the event at the settlement, that's if those are up, you're like basically boned because it's just so hard.
Especially if there's not another group there helping out or clearing or contributing in some way.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that's all I did pretty much. Oh, and I copied and pasted Hunter's notes into mine. That's the other thing I didn't give.
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, before I segue to you, Hunter, actually Hunter and I have been playing a little bit of Borderlands 2 together.
Yeah, we tried to get Hashtag to buy Borderlands 2, but she wasn't biting for some reason.
No.
I have not had time to play games. Womp womp.
You should have bought it when it was on sale. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough.
It is pretty fun to play with other people. I didn't care for it on my own, but I did enjoy playing with Hunter. And with that...
Yeah, we played with Festy, too.
Yeah, that's true. What have you been up to?
I did T4s really late at night with some of the people from RO. I have around 3,500 Fractal Relics, and I need another 1,500 to purchase the mobility... Infinite Mobility Fractal Tonic. And then, at that point, I should be able to combine them all into one item, which would be really useful. Mm-hmm. I died from being pushed off a cliff in the new fractal. That was really fun, sort of. Like, when we went to do the portion with the disappearing floors, where you use the Light of Deldramore to make the floor appear, we basically had to start and do a full circumference throughout the things just to finish that portion. You know how you have to find a path to the other side?
Yeah.
It could not have been more complicated for us to do.
Is that because it's
had to go all the way around the room?
Tier 4? Or is that just...
I don't know.
You just lucked into a weird...
Yeah, I think it was probably we lucked into something, but it might be a tier 4 thing. I finished a couple more triumphant armor skins and made it to rank 1100, which was my goal, and now I guess I have to set a new goal. Now that I know they exist, I've been finishing the bronze, silver, and gold pip tracks to get the Grandmaster Mark shards. I have enough for a Grandmaster's Mark, which should save me some money.
Okay.
I got my 6th anniversary gift on the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Picked the Grove Hydria backpack. I already have the Asura and the Char ones. I used the Guarantee Wardrobe Unlock that you got from the anniversary to get the Kurzik Dual Axe, which is a gem store skin.
What does that look like?
You know what? It's not a very complicated or spectacular skin. It's just a straight-up Kurzic design, and it's very straightforward.
Okay.
Last year, I picked the Luminous Axe and Longbow from the two free Luminous skins that you get. And this year, I picked the Torch and Sword. Spirit was talking about how she was picking skins based on how useful they are to the meta, and Torch is a big weapon right now, so I guess that's why I picked Torch.
Hmm.
And I guess Sword just as a sort of companion to the Torch. Yeah, last year I got, the Axe and Longbow. And let's see, I picked out the Sand Shark die, the Oasis die, and the Darkness die, and the Permafrost die from my first four 5-year-old characters.
I think I have to wait a few months before I get my second 6th birthday.
Yeah, it'll be a couple months before I get my next one. I still have not chosen an armor set yet. I can't decide. I think I'm leaning towards heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't picked one either, Alona? I thought you said you were leaning towards one, though.
It's between heavy and medium, and I just can't decide.
I think the heavy looks spectacularly good on Char. I don't know if you have a heavy Char, though.
I have a medium Char.
I see.
But I did look at the medium armor on her, and I was like, but I didn't look at the heavy.
Mm-hmm. So I got Jack out of the free Black Lion Key chest. I got a revive orb and just terrible other stuff. And that's like the second revive orb I've gotten this week from my key farm run earlier in the week.
You don't ever use them, do you?
No, I don't believe in using revive orbs. Oh.
You don't believe in it?
They're like Santa Claus. No one really knows. Revive orbs don't exist.
I haven't decided on what to choose from the novelty box. I think I'm leaning towards a musical instrument. Do you guys know what you're going to get from the novelty box?
Yeah, I got the broom.
Broom. Yeah, that's a tempting one. The broom and the mad mirror that you can ride on, like the carpet.
Mm-hmm. So I have the rideable broom, but it's not a novelty item. Like, it's because it's a costume brawl toy. It can't go in that slot.
Oh, interesting.
Well, maybe they'll add it at some point.
Yeah, maybe. Because I have like 6 costume brawl toys that can't go in. 6 or 7.
And I've been running through Ember Bay, Lake Dork, and Domain of Korna trying to recoup the zone-specific materials I've been low on in those zones. So yeah, I've been building up my unbound magic and a bit of volatile magic. It's just a daily thing I've been doing. I finished the Ascended Backpack from Domain of Korna, but that left me with very little inscribed shards.
I have a question about the previous one. How are you finding the populations in Ember Bay and Lake Doric?
They're okay, but they're pretty empty. I mean, I always see people, but not a lot of people.
So that means just one instance of the map up, you think?
Oh, certainly, because in Lake Doric in particular, I was going through every day for probably 5 or 6 days, and strangely, like, I would run into, like, 4 areas where there were 4 banners put up, and they were there permanently somehow, and so I'd run into this area, see the banners, run into the next area, see the banners, run into another area, see more banners. And they were there for 5 or 6 days in a row.
Wow.
Yeah. So, although that did end yesterday, I went to the Lake Doric and they weren't there. So they either ran out or there was a new instance. And finally, I crafted the Stellar Shield from Domain of Istan. I had a ton of issues trying to farm the meteors, because I was the only one doing it, and I'd go down and get to a meteor relatively quickly, and there'd be like 6 or 8 brandstone elementals. And to do this properly, you gotta kill them. So I'd have to spend time killing them, and some of the areas would have Ebolgas and undead attacking you. So you have to kill like almost 20 mobs before you can start mining the meteors. And it's ridiculous.
Would you like to get a group together to do that sometime?
No, because it's 15 minutes in between meteors at least. So you spend 90% of your time sitting on your butt. Then you zoom over the meteor, spend 10 minutes, literally 10 minutes, just fighting mobs so you can mine the thing. Mine the thing for like a minute before it disappears. It's really frustrating and annoying, and I hope they change it.
But what? Okay. If ever I'm online and you're doing that, I would join you because I need to do those.
Anyway, that's what I did this week. Hashtag.
So after the last show, or rather during the end part of it, I bought the Timekeepers package with the outfit, the glider, the dye kits. And I'm really happy with the outfit. It's a lot of fun. I like it. And the glider is fun to dye. It's got good dye channels. So it was worth the purchase. I sold off a lot of my ascended materials to finally nudge past 3,000 gold for the first time ever. Woo! Yay. So that's exciting, but I may regret this when episode 4 comes out and the supposed scepter is announced, and I need those ascended materials. So,
oh, you sold the wrong thing.
I did.
Too,
yes, I should have sold. What should I have sold? I should have sold something else. I'm trying to remember what I had in my bank, but I ended up selling spirit wood, and that was just a bad decision. But it was one of those things where I was a couple hundred away, and I just needed to do it. So I did it.
You had goals.
Yeah. I've been doing lots of dailies, catching up after my summer away. I've been trying to keep up with my daily AP and not let that get away from me again. And I'm like 2 AP ahead of Boots. So, you know, can't let that.
Boots, who doesn't know that this competition exists.
Let's keep it that way. So from the free Black Lion chest, I did not get a revive orb hunter. I got a mini egg.
Woo-hoo. Yay.
It had in it an Asura mini
Blue
that was worth
mini.
About 30 copper. So,
wow.
I've been working on... So I had kind of a long-term project unlocking dungeon armor. So I've been working on Ascalonian armor and also the weapons. So I pugged the dungeon maybe 5-ish times last week. And there were a number of people doing it, but they were doing it for the first time or they were low levels. So it really slowed things down. There was not a lot of stacking or coordination happening, not a lot of communication. You know it's bad when I'm leading the group. So,
and did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I don't mind, but I also feel like, you know, it's the blind leading the blind a little bit. But we got through it. And that's the thing. It kind of, in a way, I think it kind of felt like the way dungeons are supposed to feel, right? When they were designed, they weren't designed for stacking spots and, you know, little mini shortcuts and cheats. So I feel like we kind of slashed and hacked our way through as they were designed, particularly since there were people who were not level 80. And technically, you're supposed to be able to do this at lower level, although it's really not great. And you end up dying a lot if you are below 80. So there is that. I also did Sorrow's Embrace, so for the first time in a long time. So I guess I've kind of been on a dungeon kick.
Did you do it because we had that as our outro quote, and that made you think you needed to do it?
Absolutely not. it was the daily a couple days ago. So I popped into there, and I went into the LFG to look for a group to do it with, and there was a group doing Path 3, and I had no recollection of any of the paths. So I thought, okay, fine, I'll join in. But it was pretty much a long slog of just killing things and aggroing all the things.
It's a long dungeon path to choose. I was surprised you went with it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I didn't really know better. And I was just, it was the first thing that popped up in the LFG. So I went for it, pugged it, took a long time. I see a pattern here. My problem still is we've talked about this as a guild. We've talked about how, hey, we should have a doc or something where we state, hey, these are the goals that I'm working on. Is anybody else working on these? Do you want to do it during a certain time? Anybody else interested in working on dungeons? But I think that would be great, because what happens with me is I decide I want to do these things, and then I log in and I see that other people are doing other things, and I don't even bother asking, because I don't want to take them away from the things that they're doing, if that makes sense. So I just kind of do my thing.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and all the people in the guild are notoriously unhelpful.
It's not that at all.
When it comes to...
And it's not a helpful or unhelpful thing. It's truly just me trying to be cognizant of other people's gameplay time and not wanting to take up their space.
And also, they might be doing something you also want to do. It, like, oh, I was going to do this, but that sounds
fun. That is
fun.
True. So I also used my API key to check out the armor skins that I should have bought a long time ago. I used, what is it? It's the...
Is this Immortius.net?
Immortius.net. So you put in your API key and it gives you, you can filter it by all of the armor and or weapons that you have not unlocked. And it will also tell you how you can acquire those things. So whether it's purchasing through the trading post or gem store or karma or whatnot. So
karma.
That was helpful. I was on with Hunter when I did that. He was groaning the entire time at all the like copper and silver.
Alkalite shoes. I don't have alkalite shoes.
I did
30
not.
Alkalite shoes.
But here's the thing. You may have thought you had them because you got them before the wardrobe came in.
She didn't have the entire set.
I don't know why I was missing that, but not anymore. So that's something that I need to continue working on, particularly if we continue to do key runs and I get wardrobe unlocks, because I am not patient and I don't like to save wardrobe unlocks. And so I'm probably more prone to waste them on things that I should have just purchased. So better for me to make my way through this and purchase stuff.
Yeah, I should probably
Real
do
quick.
That too.
Real quick, though, what was the most embarrassing thing you found that you didn't have?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that's convenient.
I don't remember. What was it? You don't remember. Well, then it doesn't count.
If we're going way back to, like, 3 years ago, I have a good excuse. It was 3 years ago to when I bought all the things that are common using the guaranteed wardrobe unlock tool.
Well, there it is. Anyway,
it was probably like a bronze dagger or something. Like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or a white bow. Oh wait, that was
different
cute.
Story. So yeah. Finally, I bought a set of town clothes. I think they're the silky brocade ones. I don't have any of that set, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I went through and like previewed all of them. I don't think they were available before.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were different town clothes available from the Black Lion statuettes.
Anyway, I don't think the town clothes were available at all.
I think they're kind of cool, but I wish that they were more different. They're very, very similar.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, those were early days before. There weren't outfits at all at that point. Like it was just armor or town clothes, and that was it.
I don't even remember like how you went out and got town clothes, because
gem store.
They were gone so quickly from the game.
They were gem.
I feel like there were some that weren't though.
Were they
gemstone? I must not have had any.
Well, okay, yeah, some were. So there was a key for like a reward key for the one with the Guild Wars 2 emblem on it. The t-shirt.
Oh right,
and they also you got the cultural ones free as well, but like the cherry blossom shirt and all those things were gem store items.
The only free town clothes I remember was the biker gang headpiece bandana from Iron Marches, I think it was.
Was that considered tailpipe. Town clothes? That's just an armor thing, isn't it?
No, it was a town clothes head skin. Okay. I remember specifically.
Okay.
So it got changed into a regular skin eventually.
Yeah.
And that's it for me.
All right. Well, every other week we post a poll on Twitter for what we call Votes of Ascalon. This week we asked, what is the new structure in Queensdale? And with 68 people responding, 26% said it's obviously a gallows. That was my dog. And 16% said it's obviously a pergola. 22% said it's a stage, you fools. And our winner is player housing with 36%.
Wow.
It was not in the lead last time I checked. I was pretty surprised.
Yeah. It went from gallows to player housing pretty quickly once people started voting.
Yeah. What did you guys vote?
Player housing, apparently, because I wasn't sure people were going to vote for it.
I abstained, but I...
What?
You abstained?
Why do you do this?
You're supposed to vote. Why do you do that every time?
I didn't see it. Yeah.
Didn't see it? We were talking about it when we posted it. And I said, hey, Alona, could you retweet that? Oh, my God.
Actually, I think that happened after hashtag logged off.
Oh.
Thanks,
but
guys.
Still, it was like, it was
all
minutes
right. Well,
after.
Anyway,
what would you have voted for?
I'm pretty convinced it's some sort of pergola / stage, but yeah, I don't think it's a gallows. I think that's a ruse, but we'll talk about that later, maybe, as we hear some of our other respondents.
I voted for it's a stage, you fools, and then... Hunter said, you voted for it's a stage? I went, how did you know I voted for it? He goes, there's two votes. Because it just happened. I'm like, oh, well, that's fair. Yeah. We also had some responses on Twitter. At Archaea said, soon to be public showers, obviously. The commander needs to wash. And I'm like, yes, I can get behind this sentiment. I think all of us deserve a good shower. At Calabajui said, it's a pirate ship being built upside down to roll into a nearby lake. How else do you think pirate ships get so far inland? They do get pretty far inland.
Oh, especially in yours, too.
Yes. Rena Fox said, BRB, traveling to Queensdale, saying that they're going to go check it out, the new structure. At Owlbear said, the beginnings of the Polywalk Arena, of course. But the Polymock Arena exists outside of Radisum. You can see.
I mean, in Radisum.
Well, but... yes, in Radisum. Can't go there. I've tried many times. You can't. At some Doug said, a stage for the groundbreaking celebration of a new statue / monument for the Slayer of Two Dragons, a god and Joko? About time our PCs are fair and got a little recognition. That actually seems plausible. That particular one.
Does Farron need recognition?
Well, he would like it. So, yes. At Emma's for Awesome said, it can't be a gallows.
Yes, no, that was my comment last night.
I know.
And I was pointing out that, like, the human height, there's plenty of room to hang someone from the top.
But who does that?
Beam there. You don't need gallows. Like you put a stool underneath them. It's
that's
fine.
Weird. I feel like architecturally... Yeah, I feel like...
It's not weird. How often do you see people standing on stools and then having the stool kicked out from underneath them during a hanging scene? Like, all the time.
I disagree. I don't think it's gallows.
Okay. Well, you're...
Right, okay. Just, you know, let me get through the last
wrong,
one.
Okay.
Kit the Traveler said, there's a stage in the Norn area with Halloween stuff, so I don't know, maybe early holiday prop? Like, how retail is putting Halloween stuff right now.
Yeah, thanks for ruining our dreams, kid.
Although, so the reason I did not go with gallows, even though honestly it was the first thing I thought when I walked up to it, is just I don't think it fits the tone of the game.
Well, they said they keep talking about in depth about how they want to take the game into more emotional places and with more dramatic scenes. And I,
well, that's fair.
You know, a gallows would fit in that. But I actually do agree with Kit that.
Okay, so here's the thing: if they were going to do gallows, yeah. I think they would do gallows. You know what I mean? Like, why make it kind of?
Yeah.
Is that gallows? Maybe, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, if you wanted to be foreboding and gain attention in that way, I would have made it a lot darker in tone, the way it was designed.
How do you make a gallows darker in tone? I mean, what do you mean?
No, but I mean, like,
it's wood.
It could have been more obvious and more ominous.
Like no, a more stain. Ominous.
Like, let's say there's
yeah, oh, splatter some blood on the wood, baby. For
like,
decoration.
I give up.
Or write the words, "You will die here," no, on the wood.
I do want to hear what you have to say, hashtag.
I just mean, you could have had things like some rope. No. Oh my
ghosts
gosh.
Walking, you know, back and forth across the gallows to indicate that people have died
well,
there.
Well, it's clearly under construction. It's not done. But when are the people working on this? Is it at night? Is it elves?
I don't know. It looks kind of overbuilt to be gallows. Like, when you construct gallows, it's kind of I think of it more of like a hasty construction with, you know, beams and some rope. This to me, because it's got the structure of the box, like the it's too well constructed.
Again, I agree with Kent that it's a Halloween thing, but why would you put up the rope when it's not even done being constructed? You know,
that'd be the last thing you do. It's like hanging curtains in a house. That's the last thing you do.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. Also, I like that we've talked. Oh, sorry, Hunter, go on.
No, like Kit was saying that there's a stage in the Norn area, yeah. And I saw on Reddit a screenshot of someone who had taken a screenshot of it, and it had a ton of Halloween decorations, and there was like a haunted gramophone on the stage that's in the Norn area. So this is
did
like
that
a Halloween
slip
thing
through on a build, or do you think it was purposeful?
I don't know. Because
Halloween's like
the Norn stuff disappeared except for the stage. All the Halloween stuff is gone. And they had the opportunity to remove it. I don't know.
I was going to say, I like that we've had this large discussion over the second place winner for this poll. We've not discussed the player housing at all, which one
is not going to happen.
I don't think that is player housing, no. But I think that we will talk about that later on in the show. And now it's time for Posts of Ascalon, where we discuss the latest news in Guild Wars 2. First up, the August 28th release notes. So the big thing, or at least one of the big things, is that novelties have been added as a new tab in the wardrobe in the hero panel. Over 50 usable items, from musical instruments to chairs to kites, can now be added to the wardrobe. Novelty items now have a right-click context menu that will add them to the player's wardrobe, similar to other item types. How much did your banks clear out because of this update?
What did I say, 116?
Something like that. Yeah. Wow. It's only like 6 for me.
Yeah, for me it was mostly kites.
Wait, no, it's more, because the Zephyr model goes in there, and I haven't. So I think there's still a few that I haven't done yet. Actually, something that shaman tweeted out late yesterday, I think it was. If you, in the search field on your whatever you're in, just type novelty, it'll sort by the things that can go into the novelty wardrobe. So I'm going to go through again and do that in the bank just to see if I missed any.
That is a good tip.
Yeah, I thought so.
So novelties come in 4 types: chairs, musical instruments, held items, and toys. And one of each type can be slotted for use in the wardrobe, just like selecting different mount skins. A new button has been added to the right side of the skill bar, like the mount button. Right-clicking will let the player select their active novelty type. Left-clicking activates the item. The button itself in each category can all be optionally bound to hotkeys, which Hunter was having all sorts of fun with tonight.
Yeah, it automatically assigned you to my chair. And I was just accidentally sitting in a chair all the time.
So like you were like, you sit down. Oh, I am.
That was moving on to fractals. Party UI in fractals will now show agony resistance instead of mastery level. I think this is a great change, and it's a natural update. I mean, there's concerns, of course, with gear checks, but I feel like your agony resistance effectively was your mastery level for fractals and will hopefully prevent a lot of griefing in fractals when it comes to things like pugging.
Yeah, I mean, when you're doing things with your guild, it's way more convenient now that you don't have to ask them what their agony resistance is before you start choosing a fractal. Obviously, the gear check kind of aspect of it is a minor problem, but like it doesn't prevent you from joining in your appropriate fractal level. So people trying to do T4s with like 60 agony resistance aren't going to be a problem anymore, hopefully.
Yeah, sounds good. So mistlock instabilities will no longer show on the skill bar. Instead, they will appear in the objective UI. Is the objective UI the top right?
Yeah.
So that's an interesting change. I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like it clutters it up more.
On the buff bar.
Yeah. I'm not sure why they did that.
Depends on how clear it is. I guess I'll have to go in and see, because if it's listed very clearly what the instabilities are, that's not so bad.
So do you think it will be icons, or do you think it will be a list?
I don't know.
Because if it's icons, I feel like, I don't know, it's super easy with your mouse down at the bottom where they always are to hover, because you're used to doing that for buffs and whatnot. But if it's in the top right and you got to mouse up over there, I don't know, it just doesn't seem right. But they must have a reason for that.
I guess because I think it's because it can get pretty cluttered on your skill bar there.
That is fair. We should try a fractal later and see how it works. The exploding traps in the cliffside fractal have had their hitboxes and effects improved. Exploding traps.
This is where you're running up the ramp and the explosions are happening all in a row. Yeah.
The things I can never see.
Well, they could be a real pain for anyone who's slightly laggy.
Yeah, they would not appear whenever I played on my Mac. I think actually on my PC they do appear now, but it was a weird bug where I just had to basically follow behind someone and hope for the best.
Okay, so I'm in Fractals.
Oh my goodness, you're in game right now?
I logged in to see if it's icons or whether they listed out with words.
Right.
I like my phrasing there. It's icons, by the way.
Okay. And it is the top right?
You can mouse over them and see the details. Yeah, top right.
Interesting. All right. So when players swap characters and re-enter the same fractal, they will now appear in the defeated state.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a minor inconvenience that doesn't really hurt or help anything.
Were people abusing this?
Probably.
Yeah, it must have been a thing.
What I think, I've seen it happen, is like one of the spirits, not to point fingers at spirit or anything, but one of her favorite things is to hop on her thief, go in a fractal, stealth everyone past this annoying thing that nobody wants to do, and then hop back on another character.
I see.
To do the actual fight, so.
Moving on to items. Superior Rune of the Defender. This rune has had its icon updated. Big news, people.
That's a great fix for a really terrible icon.
I don't remember
really
it
happy
at all.
With that. I've heard nothing but talk about it. Alona, what's your opinion on this updated icon?
It's changed my life, Hunter. in every conceivable way. No, I have no idea. I have no idea what it looks like.
The phospholuminescent infusion has had its maximum scaling reduced.
So infusions can be extremely distracting with how crazy they can get. So I assume this is a sign that they're starting to work on reducing the amount of infusion spam that is a problem.
Yeah, I think that's a good move. And finally, the Unbreakable Choir Bell. The tradable version of this item is now a container. Opening the container will give players an account-bound version of the bell that can be stored in the novelties section of their wardrobe. I took advantage of this last night and bought a choir bell and added it to my wardrobe because I had no other instruments to slot into that novelty slot.
Right. And there was some brief confusion because you didn't realize it was a container. Right.
Right. So. It was in my inventory and I couldn't figure out how to get it into my into the slot. So I had to double click it and then I had to add it to my account wardrobe and then I could slot it in.
Right. I had the same thing, actually. I couldn't, even after reading the patch notes and obviously knowing about this, I was like, why can't I just right click and put this in? And I accidentally double clicked it and then it was fine.
Mm-hmm. So on to profession skills. Obviously there's a bunch of skill changes. I'm just gonna summarize very briefly some of the changes to each profession. It's not gonna be very extensive at all. But if you guys have any comments, please jump in. So starting with Elementalist, the auras seem to have gotten a lot of buffs and a bit of a rework. But the consensus seems to be that they aren't really tuned very well and don't make too much of a difference. Plenty of buffs and a few nerfs for the Elementalist, but nothing life-changing. Have you guys looked at the changes to auras?
I have not.
I haven't. No.
Okay, so basically they're more effective now, but you can get a lot of combo fields out of them, I would say. So Engineer... the gyros have been buffed to scale with your stats, meaning they aren't quite as useless as they were before. But as with auras, they still don't seem very viable. Certainly there'll be a lot more in PvE, I think, but not in serious scenarios like raids or PvP. Lots of PvP nerfs to Engineer. I'm not sure why that is. I don't PvP, but yeah, just lots of PvP-only skill changes. In particular, Thermal Vision, which is buffs condition damage, had its effect reduced by half. So that was interesting. Moving on to Guardian. There was a big rework of the Guardian Loot Stick, Rest in Peace, Wave of Wrath. They completely changed it from a very short-range cone of damage out in front of the Loot Stick to a long-range projectile. It's been made to be more supportive and have a 1200 range attack that hits multiple targets. I think it hits multiple targets. I wrote that, but I'm not super sure. It also heals more. The skill 3 is an AoE heal on it now. And there was also a 10% damage buff to Longbow, which I'm really happy about because I really like Longbow on Dragon Hunter. So hopefully that is good.
So do you think that the addition of the range will make it much more of an attractive choice for Halloween Labyrinth play?
Yeah, maybe. I think where I will probably see much more of it is World versus World, because people already use the staff on Guardians for Empower, and the Empower got a heal buff as well, so... with the range attack on it and the other heal, yeah, that's probably going to see a big boost in the number of people using it. Moving on to Mesmer, the all three skills on the Scepter got big buffs. I think 76% on the third skill? I forget. What is it? No, I'm thinking of something else. Anyway... that was about it for Mesmer. Just buffs on the Scepter and a few other things going on in PvP.
Big change was you get a lot less vigor. So if you're running Mirage and you're using the dodge with Mirage, you're not going to get as many dodges. So that's a big... Those vigor changes are more affecting Mirage a lot more.
Cool. Well, not cool, but I think Mirage actually deserves a few... nerfs, to be honest. It's really powerful in PvP and World versus World. Necromancer. There was a 5% increase to axe damage. That has everyone talking about it for some reason. It's just a 5% increase. I'm not sure why it's such a huge thing. I think it's because everyone uses axe on Necro at some point. So a 5% increase in damage is pretty good. I'm really curious about the Lingering Curse changes to Feast of Corruption. Lingering Curse is a trait, and it changes Feast of Corruption into an AoE skill, and it removes boons and adds conditions. So that might make Feast of Corruption really interesting to use. Moving on to Ranger. Worldly Impact is a skill I use all the time, and it got nerfed by 16%. It's a Soul Beast special skill, like an F3 or something. And you would leap up in the air and come down and do like a ton of damage, especially if you were a power build. It's been nerfed by 16%. Dagger skills were buffed quite a bit. Pretty much all of them, I think. 4 dagger skills on 3 main hand and 1 off hand. They all had pretty big damage increases, especially Deadly Delivery, which is the skill I was thinking about, was buffed by 76%. And moving on to Revenant, there was a huge Revenant rework, basically, which they also made a blog post about it, if you want to go find that. The headlines being that the underwater stuff has been improved. There was an added legend that you can use underwater. Lots of facet changes, and the Herald line in general was improved overall. Lots of healing buffs, I think, and stuff like that. Finally, Thief and Warrior. So the Thief, the change to Scorpion Wire seems almost overpowered, actually, in my opinion. You get 2 Scorpion Wires you can use right in a row, which will destroy people in PvP and World vs. World. And Daggerstorm has been a really lackluster elite for a while, so they added an evade on it. I don't know if that's going to make it viable, but it certainly needs like good things to happen in that skill. And Warrior, I forgot to do shit. So Warrior, lots of buffs to the signets, especially in World vs. World PvP, I think. And what else? Oh, lots of buffs to the rifle. 1 buff for the hammer and a nerf to Rousing Resilience, which I didn't really use, so I can't really speak to. And structured PvP in World vs. World, the final 4 weapons have been added to the Obsidian weapon set. Both the Obsidian weapon box and Mistforge Obsidian weapon box have been updated. These new weapons have also been added to the League Vendor and added to the Skirmish Supervisor. The new weapon types include the Shortbow, Warhorn, Rifle, and Axe. So they finished off that weapon set for PvP.
What do you think about them, the way they did that, where they did a little bit at a time rather than a big chunk?
Good. At least they're adding stuff. But on the other hand, I'm not really a fan of the skins at all. I find the Obsidian skin's kind of ugly. Mm. But that's me. I don't know what to say.
All right. Moving on to the Black Lang Trading Company gem store. There are, of course, new items and promotions. A new emblazoned dragon throne is available for 600 gems. And it's very flashy. I don't know if I'll get it, because that's a lot of gems for a chair. And a new dragon emblem kite is available for 250 gems. I did get this because I thought it was adorable.
That's a lot of gems for a kite, considering 250? You can get a bunch of kites for free.
Yeah, but not this one. For a limited time, a new set of Equinox weapon skins is available from the Black Lion Weapon Specialist for 1 Black Lion claim ticket. And they're very, I'm not sure if everyone else has seen these, but they're very like white and black. What would be like, not quite yin and yang, but because that's not quite your book, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're very stark. There's a few of them that I quite like. I don't know if I'll get any though. Have either of you looked at them?
I have not, but I have a couple tickets. So I've been thinking about what am I going to get with them? So I should definitely take a look, which I'm doing right now.
The color scheme, you know, The color scheme, I'm sure, works for a lot of people's choices in colors and dyes and whatnot, but for
feels
me,
very
it doesn't really work.
Like, in a way.
Oh, that's, I can see where you, yeah, I see where you're going with that. For a limited time, the Exosuit Mounts Pack is 40% off for 1,200 gems. And I might, I don't know if I want this. I've bought too many other things. So I think I'll give this a pass, but it is a good discount. Mm-hmm. And a new novelty section selection box with a choice of an item from the toys category of the gem store is available at no cost for 2 weeks only. Limit one per account. This is only available to players with Core, Heart of Thorns, or Path of Fire accounts. So it just means no free to play, right? That's all that means?
Yeah.
Yeah. The customer appreciation package with one Black Lion chest and one Black Lion chest key returns for the anniversary at no cost. So I can't remember what I got out of mine because I opened too many boxes in quick succession.
Yeah, because you're always buying keys.
What are you going to do with your Springers, Alona?
I usually stock them up and then sell them. I still have a whole bunch of Griffins and Dust Puppers. Yeah.
I think I might have some Griffins? Raptors.
Was there a Griffin
one? I think Griffin Hatchlings. That sounds right.
Yeah. 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 I have
to all of this. I hate this. I hate these collections with these minis.
Well, I was doing it with the Raptors and I actually just bought them all because I could not be bothered with the math of building them. And I thought, well, that's fine. I did it for one and if I do get any of these other ones, it'll be a very long-term goal, but it's not high on the list for me. And then finally, anniversary sales are ongoing until the 3rd. I'm not even sure what's on sale today. Do you guys know?
Isn't it still the slots?
Today, the 29th. No, not offhand.
As far as improvements, the Black Lion chest has been updated to the 6th anniversary chest and can be previewed for a full list of its contents. The new mini brown Springer kit has been added as the guaranteed item, and you use the Mystic Forge to unlock the whole family of Springer kits. The new Springer kit backpack is available as an uncommon drop, and the new mini Exosuit Mounts pack is available as an uncommon drop as well. And I think that's it for that. The items available in exchange for Black Lion statuettes have been updated. And there's actually a fair bit of kind of interesting things. When we talked about it a bit earlier, a new selection of town clothes outfits have been added. The exclusive Wild Magic Backpack Glider combo, the Svanir Gauntlets, and the Celestial Compass skin have also been added. Additional items, including the Profane Light Armor skins, Crichton Medium Armor skins, Primeval Heavy Armor skins, and Mad Scientist's Gathering Tools have been added.
I think you mispronounced that.
Yeah, it has neem added. And finally, gathering tools can now be previewed from the gem store and account vault right-clicking on the tool. It is nice. I like when you can preview things for sure. And you can choose your favorites with Black Lion vouchers. Snap up that look you've had your eye on. We're now offering the Black Lion outfit ticket, Black Lion Weapons Voucher, Black Lion Glider Voucher, and Black Lion Backpack and Glider Voucher. Bring one to a Black Lion Voucher dealer just inside the Black Lion Vault, where you can exchange it for a wide selection of fashionable items from the appropriate tab. Whether you're pining for a Winter Monarch outfit, Emissary Staff, or Super Cloud Glider, you'll find it here. Mm. But they're leaving soon.
Yeah, so those will be in the gem store for 2 weeks. Starting last week and ending on Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
That is not very long at all.
I was very surprised by that because I thought for sure this was their answer for having a lot of individual things in the gem store. And they could just have one thing take the place and people could choose what they wanted from it. So I was a little surprised that although I think you were saying that they'll return at some point. They'll just put them in rotation.
Yeah, that's what they do with some of their new hot ticket items. Like shared inventory slots were in the gem store for 2 weeks the first time they were out, and then they disappeared. And I'm sure there's other examples, but that's what they like to do.
But I do think this is an fairly elegant way to handle the increasing number of things in the gem store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good solution. I just wish they wouldn't take it out of the gem store right away.
Agreed.
2 weeks doesn't seem like enough.
On Tuesday, which was yesterday, ArenaNet released a 5-minute video detailing the history of Living World and hinting at what's to come next. This was a celebratory video celebrating 6 years of Guild Wars 2. And I pulled out a couple quotes from the video that I thought were interesting and warranted discussion. Mike Z said, "You can expect more great things from us as we move directly from season 4 into season 5. And Hunter and I were talking about this last night. I have a theory on this. So, so I think that if you consider how long it takes to finish an entire season. So how long would it take for season 5? A year-ish or so. And we have half of season 4 left to go. So let's say a year and a half at least left between 4 and 5. And then I think we would roll directly into the next expansion. So that's why I think we're going without a stop from season 4 to season 5 so that they can keep that cadence up going right into the next expansion.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think the cadence was always going to be every 3 months, or they're going to try to stick to that as closely as possible. But I think, I don't know why they're switching from season 4 to season 5. Seemingly a kind of arbitrary time. Maybe it's just where they planned up to and then started their next plan later on. But I'm not sure it, like, relates to when the next expansion comes out.
I have more thoughts about this, but it's related to another comment that Mike made. Do you have any thoughts on this one, Alona? So, Crystal said, "And we're going to continue this season's story and add new feature content in the coming months. We've got another raid, a new fractal, and one of my favorite features of the season, Sun's Refuge. It's a personal character instance in a familiar and historic location that goes all the way back to the original Guild Wars. You'll be able to rebuild the settlement with opportunities to unlock NPCs, collections, and rewards." Oh, yeah.
This is very interesting.
You don't think that this is personal housing, Hunter?
No, not at all. I don't think you'll be able to decorate it. I think it'll be like a cross between the original Sunspear Sanctuary and our personal instance. So you'll be able to add stuff to it. Probably, cynical me thinks, oh, it's going to be another personal instance where you can buy more stuff for it from the gem store. That's the cynical side. But you can. It sounds like a more fleshed out personal instance that they couldn't do with the original personal instance because they've been messing around with them for so long. Plus, you've got personal story going through your personal instance. So they added this so that they could do more stuff with it.
I like that idea because I've been a little disappointed in some of the additions to the personal instances lately. Like, I thought the gardens were going to be so much more than they ended up being.
I wonder if with the next expansion we'll get yet another personal instance so that they can, because they're obviously running out of room in the original personal instance adding stuff. So the, for instance, the Living Story episode items that you can buy in the merchant, like the inscribed shard node thing for 50 gold or whatever, that'll go in the Sunspear Sanctuary with the next expansion or the next season.
I don't know how I feel about that though. You'd have another place to have to visit
every day. No, I agree. But I feel like that's almost certainly what they're doing.
And actually,
unless it's big enough that it encompasses, like, you would have all of your nodes there as well, but it's extra big.
Yeah, that would be nice if they included all the old stuff. You're gonna say something, Alona?
I was going to say that I agree that it's probably a mix between the two, but I think that's what they're going to call player housing. Like, I think that is what this is going to address, whether it's what's expected. I don't know, but I think it's going to, this is their answer to player housing.
Hmm. I feel like it's going to fall way short of actual player housing, because when you look at games that are years and years old, player housing is much more extensive and personal. You can personalize it a lot more than I'm getting the sense for this. I really don't think you're going to be able to place objects like you can in the guild hall in your personal instance. But yeah, you know, I hope I'm wrong.
So I think this gets into the next comment that Mike made, where he said, we're pushing the limits of what the game can do and what we can do with the story. And we're excited to see this pay off in cool ways for you, the players, and to keep the story going into the future with season 5. So I think this is somewhat of a throwaway comment, but I pulled it out because I wonder. So he says, we're pushing the limits of what the game can do. Dun, dun, dun. I'm putting my hat on here. What if instead of expansion 3, we're going to get Guild Wars 3? What if that's why we need to get through 4 and 5 so quickly, because they're ready to move on to a new engine? What if that's why we can't get the player housing investment that, you know, we want? What if instead they're investing it in a new game engine?
Oh, okay. So I'm going to take what you said and go in a slightly different direction, but kind of the same way, because I hadn't thought about that. Do you remember, well, like WoW's done this too, but EverQuest had a massive refresh at one time. So your characters looked one way, and then they went, we're switching to a new engine. And it was like this huge port over to, and it was still the same game. Like, they didn't change anything, but your characters all look different and blah, blah, blah. Maybe.
But you kept your stuff?
It was all the exact same game. It just, and WoW just recently did that with some refreshes to the character models. But with EverQuest, I think it was even more extensive. It was a long time
ago. I like that idea, because people have heavily invested in their characters and in their inventories and gem store buys and all those sorts of things. So if they were able to do that, that would be really, really cool.
So I think I could get behind that. I don't know. I can't see a 3 anytime soon. I kind of still feel like there's too much story to tell here.
Yeah, that's pretty wild speculating, hashtag.
Yeah.
I mentioned, you know, some Guild Wars 3 speculation in the past, so I can't fault you for it. But I'm not really leading that way. Sounds just like they've got something new in the pipes. We don't know what it is. And now it's time for Stats of Ascalon. Interior, 90% of statistics are made up every time. But that doesn't stop us from talking about them. It's time for Stats of Ascalon. This week, there was an infographic released by Guild Wars 2. And has a bunch of stats. 119,000 total years of playing Guild Wars 2. There are 22 in-game special events, 18 festival releases. Guild Wars 2 has doubled in size from 20 gigabytes to 40 gigabytes on your hard drive.
I'm not sure. I would not have put this on the...
I don't know why this is a celebratory thing.
There are 7.3 million hours on a raptor. There are 4.3 million on a griffin. And together that is 1,300 years in total between the two. 620 million mount rides. There have been 37 living world episodes. Has there been 37?
That's what they say.
No.
That must count the personal...
Include season one.
Does that count the personal story?
No, it's including season one, of which there were quite a few. There have been 45,000 lines of voice acting. There are 120 brand new music tracks, which is quite a bit. There are 650 new achievements.
Hashtag.
Does that include season one? Or just the latest season? That's the latest season. Yeah. There have been 5 raid wings and 18 fractals. Yeah, I mean, they're reaching back for this 18 fractal stubber, but okay. Long live the Lich monster stats. Earth Djinn has 8 player deaths for every 10 defeats. That is crazy. And the Bog Scale is defeated 56,000 times for each player who takes it down.
Almost 57.
That is a kill-death ratio of 0.000017. Wow.
Yeah.
And that is it for Stats of Ascalon.
Poor Bog Scale. I did find it was interesting because the two mounts I use most often are Raptor first, then Griffin second. So I've contributed a lot to this stat.
I would be curious to see the actual stats on my account because I think that I use Raptor more, but I'm not entirely sure. You know, what is my perception versus what's the reality?
That would be a fun thing you can do slash age and see how many hours you've been
slash
on a specific
stats.
Character. Yeah, or like slash mounts or something. You could see how long you've spent on each mount or something. That would be
Or just have it included in the API so you could go to Guild Wars 2 Efficiency or something and look at it.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Moving on. Everyone has critiques about the games they play, but we like to keep things positive too. So in our Good Apples and Grumble Cake segment, we ask you to send in your thoughts on one positive thing and one negative thing. We had a late entry from last show from @astrand31. And for their Good Apple, they said Festival of the Four Winds was amazing and excited for next Living World Season 4, Episode 4. I'm excited for it too.
Mm-hmm.
And for their Grumble Cake, started crafting my first legendary Claw of the Con-Ur, and it's insane. Also sad that we can't dye back items or hide shoulders on outfits, but I will be strong. Yeah. I hear you on the back items. You know, I would use a lot more of the back items if I could dye them.
Or some dyeable weapons.
Ooh. Yes, like they had in Guild Wars 1.
Yeah, it's hard because when you're trying to build an outfit, oftentimes you're not going to use maybe the weapons you would like to use because they just don't match. And dye would go a long way there.
Mm-hmm.
Would be interesting. So thank you for sending that in, Astrand.
And this is where we brag that people know me and our guild hall smells of rich mahogany. It's our Boasts of Ascalon. This week, we had 2 reviews from iTunes. Great Guild Wars 2 podcast from from the USA. And this came in on August 19th. It was a 5-star review. An informative and entertaining podcast about Guild Wars 2 news and daily struggles. The personalities and perspectives make for fun listening. One self-described grumpy pants versus 2 upbeat players. If you want to keep abridged with Guild Wars 2, this is the podcast for you. My favorite part has to be Hunter's audible disgust when a third-party software taco is mentioned. Thank you for that. And the second one, Guild Wars 2 News and Laughs from Devona's Rester in the UK. And this came through on August 16th of this year. I do a lot of traveling on trains for work. I love the HOA podcast for passing the time with their news on game updates and their banter. Quite a few laugh out loud moments have earned me some odd looks from fellow travelers. Well, that is the goal.
Yeah, thanks guys for the review.
Thank you
appreciate
so much.
We do appreciate it. And I appreciate the shout out for
myself. I was a grumpy pants. Just saying.
Well, yeah. And that is it. That is the show. So to get in touch with us, you can contact me #, on Twitter @#thetag. That's #, the tag, or SIGG.1735 in game. You can tweet Hunter @HunterIshi on Twitter. You can engage Alona @OneBigPair or in game @OneBigPair.1249. You can email us @HostsOfAscalon@gmail.com. You can listen directly from our website @HostsOfAscalon.com. Grab the RSS feed to use with your preferred podcast app or subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.
And don't forget, we live stream the show at twitch.tv/hostsofascalon on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Our next live Twitch show will be recorded on September 12th. So put that in your calendars. Good show, everyone. And as War Master Grast would say, I would be glad to have you fighting by my side in the coming battles.
Rawr.
Who wrote that in?
I did.
When did you do that? I didn't even notice.
I did it earlier. It was like, well, it was before I came upstairs when we were doing show notes.
Well, he's an Ascalonian, so that themes well.
Yeah, it's from the Ascalon Catacombs.
Oh. From Guild Wars 1?
2.
Cool.
Oh.
The quote's from 2, but they probably say it in Guild Wars 1 as well.
Well, you'll never conquer Ascalon.
Thank you.